Welcome to Recurring Nightmares, episode 13. I am Chris, as always, joined by Jeff.
Hello.
And we are here continuing season two of this matchup showcase. We got a doozy for you with some a little bit later, but before we get into that, Jeff, what have you been watching over the last month?
Not quite as much as the previous month. I think I put up about 20 or so movies as opposed to 30 plus.
You took a little vacation.
Yeah. Taking it easy, taking it light. And as far as like new movies go, I didn't see that many. Honestly, like only really two come to mind. And I guess I'll start with like the horror one, which is Willy's Wonderland.
Okay, yeah, I've been waiting on this one.
It's a new Nicolas Cage horror film that I guess is like basically Five Nights at Freddy's the movie. I've never played that game, so I have no idea. I expected it to be like him versus like an amusement park that's gone evil or something, but it's like just a Chuck E. Cheese, basically.
Okay, that's what I expected. Like him in some sort of Chuck E. Cheese.
Is that what like Five Nights at Freddy's is? Is like it's kind of like a Chuck E. Cheese come to life?
Yeah, or, it's like a kid's like a kid's birthday party house.
So that's what it is, and it's not a great movie by any means. I think it makes two big mistakes. The biggest of which is that they got Nicolas Cage in the lead, and they don't really use him. Like he doesn't speak a single line in the entire movie, which is like
that's insane.
Yeah, like now because it's Nick Cage, he's able to make it fun even without speaking, just because he could, you know, his kind of crazy personality still comes through a little bit.
Right.
I just think it was a misguided choice to do that.
Who hires Nick Cage and doesn't have him do any lines?
Yeah. Like, you could have made it like a character who is like a man of few words and, you know, at least give him, you know, 10 to 15 lines throughout the movie, like where he says stuff here and there. He just says nothing. And none of the kills are really good. It's like, you know, the animatronic band, like a Chuck E. Cheese coming to life and, you know, trying to murder people. And, when Cage kills one of the robots, he like kills them really good. Like he'll like rip their insides out and, you know, like the kills against them are good, but like, there's not any, like, they don't get any good kills in. And there is like a group of teenagers who show up to like help Nick Cage in this. So it's like, there's definitely like people to add to a body count, and just none of the kills were really that good. I thought
that's disappointing. Cause that seems like it could be the most fun, is like having like this weird animatronic thing ripping people apart or decapitating people. And,
Yeah, it's just, you know, it's a cheap movie, and I don't know, like, I think I gave it, like, 3 stars on Letterboxd, and, you know, I was being pretty nice, I think. Like, I didn't hate the movie, but, like, it's definitely something amazing, and it's like, even, like, short of what it could have been, I thought, so. It's a low priority, put it that way.
All right. Well, I'm not going to go out and rent it. If it shows up on a streaming service, I'll watch it then.
Another new movie I saw was called Bloody Nose, Empty Pockets. And that is a documentary about the last night at a dive bar in Las Vegas. Okay. So, just at least that's how it presents itself. So it's one of those like one crazy night movies. Where you're meeting the characters, the type of people that hang out in a dive bar, and kind of learning a little bit about them as the night goes on, and just kind of a look at that life. It's not real, at least as far as I could tell. It's kind of a hybrid thing where, like, I think some of the people you'll see in the movie are real, but some of them are definitely actors.
That's a weird choice.
Yeah, yeah. It's very convincingly done. Like, you know, like, if you look it up on Amazon to go rent it, it's listed as a documentary because, like, it does not give away at all that it's not, you know.
Right.
But, you know, there is, like, clues, in my opinion. Like, there's one guy in the bar, he takes 5 hits of acid, and he's sitting there, like, just kind of freaking out afterwards. And near the end of the movie, he, like, walks out of the bar, and he's standing in front of the bar, and he, like, raises up his fists, like, over his head, and he's like, "I fuck well, and I do shit." And then he, like, walks off, and they're like, okay, that feels a little written. Like, I don't know. It doesn't, you know, it's...
Right.
It's like them going for a line. But, like, overall, feels very authentic. And, you know, I guess... I think you'd know if it's something you'd want to see, I guess. Like, if you watch the trailer for it, I think it'll let you... You'll know whether you want to see it or not and whether you'd like it. The central performance, I don't have the guy's name... unfortunately, I don't have his name, but it's crazy because he followed me on Twitter after I followed him. It's like this guy who lives in the bar. He's like basically the resident of the, like, basically lives there. He's like an older guy. Unfortunately, he just died like yesterday in real life.
Oh, that's awesome.
Which I feel really bad not having the actor's name, but. Anyways, he gives a really great performance in it, and I really enjoyed the movie, but it's not going to be for everyone. I think some people won't find people who hang in dive bars as interesting. To me, they're kind of my people, so I thought it was just a really, I don't know, neat movie, and just came off as realistic and believable. Kind of reminded me of, like... In some ways, like, a good example to explain what the type of movie it is, like, remember that movie Kids from the 90s, where it was just, like, it followed, like, these high school kids around for a day doing all sorts of terrible shit, and yeah. That also, like, felt like a documentary, but was not. It's kind of, I think, what this is, although this is, like, way less intense than the movie Kids. It's just kind of a nice portrait of, you know, people who spend their times in dive bars. I'm sure there's other new things I saw, but those are the two that kind of stood out for me over the last month. I did see two, like, old movies I thought were great.
Mm-hmm.
One is, I don't think I talked about it. I think I saw this right around when we recorded the last episode. That is Michael Mann's Thief from, I think, 1981.
Yep.
That is a James Caan. It's Michael Mann's first film. He would go on to direct, like, Heat and Collateral and Miami Vice and stuff. It's his first film, and James Caan is the star. He plays, like, this expert safecracker who decides to do one last big heist, gets involved with the mob, and does a big heist for them, and he's going to retire. That's kind of the plot of that movie. I think you could guess where that goes. Doesn't always those movies never end like happy.
They never go the right way.
Yeah, yeah. Just really, really good movie. I think it's still on HBO Max if anyone's interested and hasn't seen it. Just Michael Mann, like, came out of the gate apparently, like, knowing exactly what he wanted to do, and I would put it up there with, like, the best of his stuff. Also,
does it have that stylistic flair that he likes? That,
yeah, I mean, like, he's, you know, shooting stuff at night.
Yeah,
just the way he makes the city look at night. I think the city is Chicago in this one, which is also cool for me. Awesome mob boss/villain guy in it. Like, he comes across as this really friendly old man until he's not. James Caan's great in it. And I think one of the coolest things about it is it has an awesome like synth score from Tangerine Dream. Just really cool. Like it just adds a flavor to the movie that you wouldn't get from most. It almost sounds like you know, like a John Carpenter horror score, like going over this heist movie, you know, like it does something I'm not used to in that type of movie.
Right.
So right. Good. Go ahead.
No.
So good that I actually like sought out the soundtrack. I got it on vinyl and I got the movie too. I bought the movie as well. So if that's a clue of how much I liked it. I liked it quite a bit. And I guess one more random that I saw just randomly going through HBO Max. I think my girlfriend picked it out. She's like, "Oh, you should watch that." And I was like, "Fine." It's directed by Clint Eastwood, sure. And that's The Bridges of Madison County. Have you ever seen that, Chris?
Maybe. I don't remember it if I have. I remember there was a big, you know, it was a pretty big deal when it came out.
Yeah. I think it was I remember it being like a big movie when it came out, but like when it came out, which I think was 1995, mm-hmm. It was, you know, that's not a type of movie I would have gravitated towards. It's like a romance.
Yeah.
Meryl Streep is this bored housewife living in rural Iowa, I think. And her husband's out of town with the kids for a couple days, and in rolls into town Clint Eastwood. He's like this National Geographic photographer. He's there to take photographs of their like closed bridges. That's how you get the title of the film. He actually drives onto her property. He's totally lost. He asks her for directions to find this one bridge. They end up spending the afternoon together. They end up spending the weekend or whatever together and fall in love. And it's like one of those doomed romances with a ticking time clock. Like, you know, the husband's coming back home. You know, what choice are you going to make? I don't want to spoil it, but I thought that the ending was really, really powerful stuff. The romance worked in it. Like, you liked both the people, you felt for their situation. It felt real. And like I said, hell of an ending. Again, not the type of movie that I would normally be like crazy right. about, but I loved it. I thought it was really, really good. So if you're like a Clint Eastwood person and like never saw this because you're like, yeah, it's not something, you know, it's not him being Dirty Harry or a cowboy or whatever, you know. I'd say give it a shot. I don't know. I thought it was really good. It's a little clunky starting. I think the wraparound story is, there's like a wraparound story that, because the romance takes place in like the 60s and then the present day, the 90s, it's like her kids finding out that, you know, that she cheated on their dad. And I think that the present day wraparound story is a little clunky, but doesn't take away from what is 95% of the rest of the film. So
nice.
Those are probably the only movies I want to touch on. I'm sure I'm forgetting one or two, but I don't want to bore you all night.
I don't have much to talk about. Over the last month, DMX died.
Yeah.
He was in a bunch of movies.
None of which I've seen somehow.
Really?
So, nope.
He's in a Steven Seagal movie called Exit Wounds. I've seen it. I don't remember a whole lot. Evidently, it also stars Anthony Anderson and Tom Arnold, who are in a movie I enjoy. It's not great. It's kind of like trashy fun, but it's Cradle to the Grave, which is Jet Li and DMX. And Anthony Anderson and Tom Arnold are also in that. It's dumb. Yeah, it's they kind of make a they have this like credits thing going where the two of them are talking and they make commentary to the other movie. Like they talk about the characters from that movie, which is is a weird like wink and nod. But anyway, DMX, not a bad actor. Like, I mean, in terms of, what these types of movies are. Like, it's a pretty standard action movie.
Yeah.
But he's pretty decent in it. As I said, Anthony Anderson's in it. Gabrielle Union's in it. Jet Li is the main co-star there. It's fun. Like, you know, if you're looking for one of those early 2000s action films that harkens back to kind of like the 80s and 90s type films,
early 90s,
yeah, like that, it's fun like that. So yeah, it was a fun one to go back and revisit. And then Alien Day was
what is that? Why is it Alien Day?
So the planet in Alien that they land on in the original movie is colonized in aliens. And that planet is called LV-426.
So
April 26th has been commandeered by fans of Alien as Alien Day. There were a bunch of people talking about it on Twitter, and I was like, you know what? I haven't watched Aliens in a while, so I put it on while I was working, and that movie is still fucking awesome. It's just a fucking phenomenal action film.
Which one did you watch, and which one do you gravitate towards? Because I know there's big differences.
So I watched
so long, I don't remember like which one I liked more or whatever.
I like both pretty much equally. I watched the shorter version, which I think is the theatrical cut. Okay. The director's cut or whatever, the extended cut. Yeah, there's some extra scenes in it. But the core cuts are there in both films. There's just some extra context. Like they show Newt's family in the extended version. There's like a whole scene where they go and Newt is in the like rover when her parents go out and they get killed. So yeah, there's like some extra context in that one. But I watched the theatrical one. It's edited near perfectly. Like it has such a nice, fast, brisk pace to it. The performances are great. Paul Reiser is a fucking dirtbag.
I remember that. It's been a long time since I've seen it. I don't think I've watched it since I got the quadrilogy. Like, remember when that Blu-ray came out? Like,
stupid name. Yes.
I think that collection came out like a decade ago, though, probably, right? Like, probably 2010, 2011, something like that.
Yeah, that's when I watched it.
Yeah.
Yeah, so.
I watched the first one a lot, and, you know, I like the second. I prefer the first one, but I like the second one a lot. I just don't watch it as much. I don't revisit it like I do the first one. I think I'm due, man. Shit, I wish I would, I saw someone talking about Alien Day on Twitter. I'm like, what is this? Another made-up fucking holiday? Sure enough.
Yeah, it's another made-up holiday, just like a week from now.
You got May the 4th.
Star Wars Day. So.
That's funny.
But yeah, I mean, any excuse to like revisit old awesome movies.
Now, you're an Aliens guy, though, right? Like, like that's your one, right?
Yeah, like I love Alien. Yeah. Alien's a great film. Like it's a awesome slasher movie as well. But I love Aliens. Like there's just something about James Cameron's the way he frames action and intensity. So
yeah, I mean, is it your favorite Cameron?
I think so. It's like. And one that doesn't get talked about a lot is True Lies, but that might be my second favorite of Cameron's.
That was on, I want to say HBO Max for a while. I don't know if it's still there. That one was like hard to like find for a while.
Yeah, I think HBO Max has like maybe the best cut of it if it's still up there right now, because I don't think you can really like buy it digitally, and they have not done a 4K transfer of it yet. To purchase, or at least a good one that people are like a consensus on it. There's something weird about that movie that he hasn't gone back to it and re-released it. There's another one that's out also that he's done that we haven't gotten the update on. The Abyss.
The Abyss. Yeah.
Yeah, The Abyss. Yeah.
I don't know why. I don't know what the deal. Like, both of those are really good movies that are kind of getting lost to time a little bit. Or, like, you know, it's like, it's hard to pass on if you can't watch them anywhere.
Yeah. And like, those two movies are great. So
yeah. Yeah. I mean, that and The Abyss, I have not seen in a long, long time, maybe 20 years. Like, I should probably, I think that might have been on HBO as well. I don't know. That's another one with multiple versions too, that are,
yep,
that has like vastly different versions, I think.
Yeah, there's like a different ending, I think, for one of them. But I guess the big new movie, and I think you watched this as well.
Oh yeah, we'll have thoughts.
And we're not gonna spend too much time on it because it's the primary topic of conversation for our game podcast tomorrow. But Mortal Kombat 2021 on HBO Max, also in theaters. I think it made like 25 million, which is, that's a decent haul for coming back to theaters. Like,
yeah,
stuff isn't making a ton of money right now. It was also the most watched film on HBO Max during its launch weekend.
I was all over it. I think I said I wasn't gonna watch it till Saturday. I was like, gonna wait till my girlfriend got off work or whatever. Saturday night, we're gonna watch it. Friday morning, I'm off. I'm like, I'm in bed. Turn it on right away.
Well, you may have spared your girlfriend some horribleness. It's not a good movie.
Okay, this is, I guess I'm gonna have to probably repeat myself when we talk about it on the other show. This is one of the more fascinating movies of the year for me because reactions are all over the place. There's people like, I know what your take is on it. There's people, yep, that hate it way worse than you. There's people kind of like me, and then there's people that like it way more than me. It's just interesting how the takes are so completely all over the place. There's no consensus on it. And the best thing about it is that everybody's right. That movie is a piece of shit. It's not good, but like, I had fun. I don't know. Like, it's hard for me to justify.
Yeah, I mean, everyone's going to come away from it with varying degrees of entertainment value.
Yeah.
But I think everybody also agrees it's not a good movie. Like, it's,
yeah, I think everyone will agree that it's not like a good story for sure. Like, and not a good script, right? Like,
yeah, the script is terrible. Just briefly, the premise of it is that, you know, there's this tournament that happens every so often. The underworld or the netherworld, I don't know, they've won like the last 9 tournaments. If they win the next one, they can invade Earth and enslave all of the human race. So the humans have to like fight back and have to win this next tournament. And there's this guy, he's a fighter, he's kind of like washed up, and he's our primary character, and he is like a fucking wet noodle. Like,
yeah,
like so dull.
Yeah, I would agree.
And then like there's like these other cool characters like Kano and Sonya Blade and, you know, Hubcap guy. I don't know the characters. I don't know really like the
Kung Lao, I think.
Kung Lao, Hubcap. Yeah. And like Raiden and, you know.
Raiden's
like,
not in it nearly enough, in my opinion.
No. It's Sub-Zero and Scorpion are in it, but they are kind of like, they kind of bookend it, and they're like the wraparound story for everything that's going on.
I have risen from hell to kill you.
What? It's like so bad. That's actually like,
I love that line. Like, so stupid.
It is like, that's like, and like where they go, like fatality.
Yeah.
Like, what the hell? Shut up. Yeah. Like when they try to force the game stuff, it is like, it's hysterical, but it's also like so cringeworthy. Like,
I think I would be way higher on this movie and I would defend it more if the action was better. In my opinion, the editing and the, you know, the martial arts, the fighting is like, it's like the worst type of like, where it's just like sometimes incomprehensible. Like, what is going on? Like, if you slow down a scene and watch the cuts, you're like, wait, That doesn't make sense. Some people have done some cool breakdowns of stuff on Twitter. Like, if you imagine if you had the director of The Night Comes for Us did this, or even the guy that did The Raid. Like, you could have got either one of those guys. I know that the director of The Night Comes for Us is a big fan of Mortal Kombat. I'm sure he would have jumped at this. Like,
it isn't one of the stars of The Night Comes for Us. He's in this, right?
He's Sub Zero. Yeah.
Yeah.
Sub Zero is cool on this, though, I think. What did you say?
I said that they actually told him he had to slow down at points because he was moving too fast.
Oh, yeah.
which, I mean, makes sense. Like, the guy who plays Scorpion is not a martial arts star. I mean,
gotcha.
But he's like an actual like actor that I've seen in other films and other TV shows. So I don't know how much martial arts he actually knows.
Yeah.
So they pair these two off against each other, and like evidently he moves a little too fast for everybody else. I think you're right. Like, the action is cut weird, it's not framed well. Sometimes it's just like they have like too much going on, which is funny, like in a way, because it's like, oh, that's cool, there's lots of stuff going on, but it's they're jumping between them, so you never actually get to see something play out.
Yeah, like when you watch like a fight scene in like The Raid or something, it's like the camera stays on the whole fight, like where you're just like, how did they do that? Like, these guys are really hurting each other. Like, how are they not cutting? And here it's just like cut city. Like, it's just like, I can't tell what's going on anymore. Here's why I'm not defending this movie, because it's indefensible, but why I had fun watching it is it gave me fatalities, which I wanted, you know, like they were bloody and gory. Unfortunately, they are like pretty CGI. But there was like at least two really cool ones that I still remember a week later. The movie, it has a sense of humor about itself. Like, Kano is constantly making jokes. And so, like, between those two things, I was just like, this is just a dumb, fun time. Like, it's definitely, again, I can't defend it, but I'm just, my reaction was I had fun watching it, you know what I mean? Like,
sure.
So,
I didn't not have fun. Like, we made fun of the movie the entire time. It is a movie I will never go back. And I'm glad I watched it. Watch it already. I don't think I will ever watch this again. Like, I'm glad I watched it with my wife and my son, because like us making fun of it, like, upped it. Because otherwise, I'm like, man, fuck this movie. Because like outside of Kano and the like anytime Sub-Zero is on screen, it's pretty good. But take him away and it's like, everybody please shut up.
Yeah, Sub-Zero was really cool. Like, they just play him as like this total evil, like fucking badass, like, and he's always like kind of doing cool shit, like when he's walking down the street and he like makes it rain fucking ice and shit. Yeah. There's like a part where he's like standing outside of a door. It's like a slasher movie. Like, he's like coming in to kill someone. I forgot who it was.
Right at the end. And that's the other thing. Okay, so he does that right at the end. It's the generic dude's wife and daughter that he kidnaps and ultimately freezes. I did not realize that was his wife, and I thought his daughter was his like little sister for like a good beginning of the movie. Like, I didn't know what the fuck was going on, because they don't actually explain it.
They go so fast with all the, like, they want to cram so many characters into this that they like just kind of run roughshod over like the plot, the characters. You're just like, oh, because now we have to show this guy and this guy and this guy. It's like,
we have to introduce 10 different people. Yeah. And even if we're not going to give any of them any real context, but whatever. It's free if you have HBO Max. Go watch it or don't.
I'm not recommending it. I'm just being honest that I had some fun with it.
Yeah, I think there is fun to be had with that movie. whether it is like, oh, I really like what's happening on screen, or just like laughing at the the badness of it in points. There's fun there. Anyway,
cool kills the Jax and Kung Lao. Just saying.
Yes, when Jax gets his arms ripped off, that's pretty good too.
When Jax does a fatality later,
that one's good.
It's pretty cool.
My wife was cackling, so she does not like movies with blood and gore, but
yeah,
not sure why she sat down for it, but she does know, like, she knows Mortal Kombat from the game.
Yeah.
And she was just like cackling when what's his name? Jax does his fatality. Like, it's pretty fucking absurd.
Yeah. So I don't know. Bad movie. Yeah, you might get some fun out of it. At least I did.
So that brings us to the main event here. We have a pair of Killer Clothes movies.
Indeed.
I think we're going to go in reverse order. No, they're both recent, but I think we're going to go with Slacks instead of In Fabric first.
Okay.
Only because I think Slacks will be a quicker talk.
Yeah, probably.
Yeah.
Ready.
Hi there. And you are?
Libby.
You are here for the new collection turnaround. This is such an important night for us.
A lot of people have been very keen to get their eyes on it.
Jeans that automatically adapt to your body size. The Super Shapers!
Lockdown activated.
I want you to know I will do whatever it takes to make sure things go as scheduled.
Oh my god. I'm so, like, totally excited. I could just die.
Should we call the police?
We can't. We're in lockdown.
What if there's a killer out there?
Are you afraid there's a killer out there?
Yeah.
Get ready for Slacks.
Okay, so we know two things. It loves Bollywood music, and it has a bindi on its forehead.
Slacks.
Small price to pay for an awesome ass.
So, Slacks is a movie from last year. 77 minutes long. Shudder exclusive. So if you have Shudder,
you wouldn't have been able to see it probably until it hit Shudder, which was pretty recent, right? Like a month ago, maybe.
Yeah, because it was hitting the film festivals prior to this. I had learned about it. I guess it was at the Toronto Film Fest or something like that. One of the movie critics I follow actually had a review up, and I was like, I had flagged it then. Like, this seems ridiculous. I want to see it. It's all horror comedy about killer jeans.
Mm-hmm.
Takes place in it's like a clothing store in a mall, but it doesn't seem like this takes place in a mall. Like, it might be a standalone store.
I took it as a mall.
Okay.
I don't know why. Because they have there's like back rooms leading to other areas and kind of thing.
Yeah, you know? That's why I took it as that. But then, like, they have like the open to the outside, and I don't
know. Does it open to the outside?
Yeah, I think like that's where the people at the end were all coming from.
Even still, there's malls like that.
Yeah.
There's, you know, big mall in Chicago like that.
But anyway, takes place in, like, you know, like an American Eagle or, you know, one of those like
preppy, like a Gap
something like that. Like, you have a bunch of like pushy sales clerks, and I think it does a, it's absurd. It's, you know, obviously a parody of that environment, but I think it does a pretty good job of kind of characterizing all the different types of people you meet in retail.
Yeah. You have your douchey, like, manager who hides in the back as often as he can and wants desperately wants to be regional manager.
Yeah. And then, like, just, like, your spectrum of, like, slackers to, like, people that are doing way too much. And we're kind of given this all through the look of this, like, brand new employee to this store, Libby. She just turned 16. She idolizes this store, like, probably like a lot of kids getting into retail. Like, they
want to, like, me going to GameStop.
Right. right. So it's like, oh, I love games. I want to work at GameStop because this is where I go get my games. Like, she loves the clothes that this company puts out. She buys into their, like, corporate bullshit that they're promoting. And they are about to put out, I guess, their new seasonal line. And one of the items is this new jean called the Super Shapers. And those jeans end up killing people. Because they've been haunted, in a way. They've been possessed, and they start offing people.
You're kind of clued into this at the beginning. Yes. Right, like, because, like, it starts off showing you the cotton fields where they're getting the denim, or, you know, getting the cotton for the denim.
Yeah, like an experimental field. Yeah.
There's a sign that just says experimental cotton field. I don't know what, like, they never really go beyond just saying it's experimental, right? Like, that's kind of it. Yeah.
So, I mean, I guess, like, the big cut here is that the store here, Canadian Cotton Clothiers, they have this, like, wholesome image that they don't use sweatshop labor, and, you know, everything they do is wholesome, and they have, like, this stupid slogan, like, make a better tomorrow today. And and as the movie goes on, we find out that it's all bullshit, obviously. Mm-hmm. And the cotton that, you know, has been used to make their clothes is being done by, like, little children over in India, and one of them died pulling the cotton. She fell into the mill and has, like, her spirit has infested all these jeans.
Yeah.
And that's basically it, right? Like, that's kind of the main crux of the plot here.
There's like an influencer, right, character. Yep. Like, we're making fun of influencers too, who's coming to, like, it's like a midnight launch type thing they're doing, right, for this new.
Well,
or so not, it's like, no, a,
it's 8 a.m. is when it all opens up. Yeah. Like, they let the influencer in at midnight, so she hype can shit. Like, she's gonna do like a hype video for it, because that's what she does, I guess. I don't know. So they're filming there, and but in the process, like, these jeans have been killing off staff members. So one of the things I thought was really weird is, so the S's on these Super Shapers look an awful lot like fucking Nazi SS S's.
Yeah, at some point that did finally click for me. I was like, oh yeah.
Like, and they're like filling in, like, each time it gets a kill, like, it fills in red, because otherwise it's just, you know, open jean color and stitching. And yeah, so like the influencer dies, all the other fucking employees die. They off everybody kind of off screen. That's a big problem I have with the film. The jeans don't do a lot of actual killing on screen.
I mean,
there's only so much you could do.
Exactly. But, the whole problem with all of this is just like, they do a couple times. Like, there's one where they try to make a big gory death. It's like, this guy is in, like, the back room area or whatever, and he, first off, the jeans, like, kind of mesmerize him, I think, and then, like, he, like, the zipper kind of bites his thumb off, The jeans, like, you know, like the waist of the jeans, like, act like a mouth, and yes. They like bite his hands off, and then like it kind of like crawls up his chest or whatever, and it like gets up to his throat, and like the zipper goes across his throat and slits his throat. That's like the most like effects heavy kill I think in the whole movie. Like,
yeah,
where they really tried to show you the jeans killing somebody.
I think like the other one is like the influencer, right? Like, because it's all done on camera.
It like kind of like strangles her.
That one's kind of funny.
Like, yeah, see,
the people that are like filming it are just like, oh my god, what's happening? And then she dies. I don't know. There's not much to say, really. Like, it's a goofy ride for. You know, so it's a short ride. It's 77 minutes long, and it's fairly goofy throughout the whole thing. You know, when they do have effects outside of the CG that they have to do for the genes, you know, they have some actual, you know, practical effects. Like, there's like, you know, body parts, and those are actually the actors in there. So like, they stuff like one of the actors. She's been ripped in half. Mm-hmm. Her guts are all out, and the jeans stuff her underneath the sink.
Yeah, yeah.
And it's like the actress is like stuffed in there with all these like all the goo. Yeah. Or the guy that you just talked about, where his hands are like all his body parts are ripped off, and he's stuffed into a box, and like his head is like it's actually his head. Like, they've just kind of imposed it, and he like they show it at the end. It's. You know, interesting to see how they do that.
Yeah, the credits were, if you do watch this movie, the credits are kind of fun to watch. They, like, show them doing some of the effects. There's, like, an outtake or two. Like, you know, they're showing throughout the credits.
They do a good job with they show actually how they made the jeans dance or move around.
And it's just someone in a green suit, like, holding those things. Like,
really neat.
I think the jeans dancing, it goes like this running gag throughout the movie that ends up playing into the plot. So Libby, the new girl, she's talking to one of her coworkers who is Indian or whatever. And she's like telling her how she likes Bollywood music. And this worker who's been there, she says since 1987. Like, she's like, oh, you assume just because I'm Indian, like, I like Bollywood music or whatever. And you find out later she actually does like Bollywood music. She's listening to it. And then that's when, like, they start to piece it together because the genes start dancing to the music. It's weird.
Then the genes put together a... I don't know, really know how they possessed, like, a mannequin. But then there's like a mannequin walking around with jeans on. It's kind of like the, you know, embodiment of this little girl spirit. And they use that in another funny gag where they're using a hand, an actual hand, where the finger has been ripped off and they're writing in blood.
Yeah.
Which I thought was amusing. And then ultimately, like, the manager, he's a dick. He gets his comeuppance.
He's like running around trying to cover everything up throughout it too. Like,
yeah.
They eventually figure out, oh, we're getting knocked off one by one, but he's like so obsessed with having a good launch.
Yeah. Which is also like, I have worked for people like that like not like they've hid fucking murders, but like, you know, this is just done to an absurd level, but it's like where they just start, nothing matters except their job and their performance, and nothing's going to make them look bad. So they'll push everything else under the rug until after the fact.
Yeah.
So it's like they kind of play off of that. And, he ultimately, you know, gets fucked over. But I thought the ending was interesting as well, because
I like the ending. Yeah.
Kind of like shows that like you know, we are our own worst enemies as consumers. Even though this poor girl is like trying to hold them all back, they trample her to death.
Yeah, she's like the last one standing, right? Like our main character, kind of. And she's trying to tell. There's a bunch of people lined up for this launch. They're like outside the doors. And she's like, no, no, don't come in. She's like trying to hold the doors closed. And these motherfuckers come in like it's Black Friday. And of course, get like, you know, destroyed.
Right.
The genes like, are waiting.
If they hadn't come in, like, I think she might have been able to like hold them off, right? Like, because the genes weren't leaving, they weren't going to attack. But as soon as those people came in, it was like, nah, now it's now we're getting our blood.
I dug that because, like, I don't know. I think it's just like a cool ending for like what this whole movie was.
Yeah,
I give the movie like a lot of credit for having a point of view and really like hitting you over the head with it, like making sure you know, like that it's you know, it's a satire of retail, of capitalism, of consumerism, right?
Yep.
I do think it makes a mistake, and one, it's like there's things that are spot on, kind of like the manager who's like so desperate to move up the ladder. Then there's like it's like the people in the trenches all seem to hate each other, which like I think it like works against the movie a little bit. Like all like the yeah. lower level employees like also hate each other, and it's like, okay, well, I guess I don't like any of you then. Like you guys are all like,
yeah, they're all dicks except for Shruti, and she's the one that like lasts the longest with Libby. I mean, she's just indifferent to everybody.
Yeah, and it's just like, I don't know. I thought that was a misstep. There's like little things like, it's like you don't have to like exaggerate how bad retail is to pick on it. Like there's like a. There's a part at the beginning, like, she's all excited to get this job, and she goes to buy some of the clothes from the store so she could, like, be dressed properly, which is, like, that's accurate. That they'll, like, force you to buy, like, the fucking uniform, basically.
Yep.
But, like, and she's like, you know, can I get the employee discount? And, like, the other, like, her coworker is like, oh, well, technically, you're not a new employee yet, so you can't get the discount. I'm like, okay, that's not... It just to me that's struck as like false. And
yeah, well, technically I'm here working, so
yeah. Well, it's just like they're trying to like make fun of how retail is there too, where it's like, but it's like that's not how it go. And
yeah,
the way like her coworker is so robotic and like conditioned by working in the environment is just like. I don't know, I remember, like, looking at my coworkers, like, we are in this together against the fucking, like, the upper, like, the management and the fucking crazy people coming in here. Like, it wasn't like we all hated each other. Like, I'm sure there's situations like that, but...
Yeah, I've worked in a couple of different retail environments where, like, sometimes it is, like, very much, like, we're all in this. Even, like, sometimes the manager, like, they understand, like... And then there's other times when it is like it could very much just depend on the type of store where it's like, look, everybody is out for themselves because it's cutthroat, and you know, if you're not getting your sales numbers, you're gone. We don't know how this store operates, but yeah, it does make it hard though, because you don't give a shit about anybody except for Libby,
yeah.
and maybe Shruti at the end. Everybody else is like a dick, and okay, well they got killed. Who cares?
Yeah, whether like I'm sure there's workplaces like retail workplaces like that where everyone like hates each other and they're all like sarcastic with each other, but like it doesn't help this movie to have it like that,
right?
I think the movie also like looks cheap. Like it, you know, the gore effects look CGI. The movie has like this sterile, like straight to streaming look to it. I guess like the sterile look kind of fits this because of the environment they're in, but like it just again to me it looks like a cheap movie.
It's one of those like very sterile department stores, like the Gap or Abercrombie and Fitch or something like that, where it's like almost like obnoxiously sterile. It's like everything's clean and pristine and nothing's out of order.
But I think, I think that's like a happy accident of the fact that this is like super low budget and, amateur independent filmmakers making this. Like, it's, it looks like something that I always say this, like some YouTuber would make or something. Like, it doesn't look like a the lighting doesn't look professional or right to me. I don't know. Like, not a lot of flavor to the look of this. Again, it's like, it kind of works because of what the movie is, like, what it's like satirizing, but not a great looking movie to me.
Yeah, for sure. No, I can see that. It's not going to go. I mean, I don't think it did win any awards.
Yeah, like, think of it compared to the other movie we're going to talk about tonight, which looks great.
But ultimately, I had fun with it. I think its brevity, it does wonders for it as well.
It's short. It's under 80 minutes.
Yeah. With credits, like under 80 minutes, so it moves at a good pace. I think it does maybe like in the last like third fall apart a little bit, but
the ending helps it.
Yeah, the ending picks it back up. So
there's like a part in the back storage room thing again where like the manager goes to kill, I think, one of our main characters basically.
Mm-hmm.
He like stabs her or something, like, and it's just like you don't even see it, like the camera's above where the stabbing takes place. I don't know, it just felt like, what are we doing here? Is this a horror movie, right? Like,
yeah, give us what we came for. Especially in a movie, you know, about killer genes, like we want to see the genes kill, or we want to see like other people kill, and we want to see it done in an absurd way.
But I'm with you. I liked the movie ultimately. I think there's a couple things that do that for me. It's, I think the fact that it has a point of view, I think, goes a long way for me. And it, you know, it being short, I was never bored by it. Like, I was I was never in love with what I was watching, but I was also not bored. Like, I was mildly entertained throughout, but it also is nothing substantial here. Like, it's, despite having a point of view, it's like, this feels kind of throwaway. Like, I don't know. It's like, yeah, I guess I had kind of fun, but it's not like, it's not one I'm going to like go revisit in a couple of years or whatever. Like, it was just a fun hour, basically.
Nope, I will likely never watch this movie again, but I'm not upset that I watched it.
No, that's kind of where I'm at too, but it just could have been something a bit more. I don't know. Maybe not. It's a movie about killer genes. I was kind of surprised that it had so much to say for a movie about killer genes.
Yep.
And also surprised that they actually filled in the backstory. I was not expecting them to explain
why the genes are
going.
Yeah.
Yeah. So
I guess that was surprising and enjoyable.
Yeah.
All right. Rating for Slacks, Jeff.
Okay. I kind of summed up my thoughts just there about it. So I'm going to give it a 5 out of 10.
I am going 6 out of 10. I think that's where I'm at with it. Enjoyable, not great.
It's on Shudder. It's silly. If you've watched everything else on there, why not?
If you've watched everything else. If you watch every other thing,
put it on the box. If you've watched everything else, watch Slacks.
Slacks is there too. Go for that one.
purchase on a horizon?
I'm just looking, thank you.
The hesitation in your voice, soon to be an echo in the recesses of the spheres of retail. The dress is your image, onto what you project through an illusion.
I'm just going on a date. I don't normally wear this kind of thing.
Be bold. Your date will compliment you. I would like you to announce the numbers to your telephone.
01632 960 7 and 7 8 and 8 6 and 6 and stop.
As promised.
Thank you.
You look different.
Oh my God, what's that? That looks nasty. Maybe just the washing powder. Oh, I hope it isn't catchy.
How's it going, Sheila?
Everything's fine.
What happened to your hand?
Washing machine went bananas.
You who wear me will know me.
What's that supposed to mean?
It's just a cheap bit of mystery.
I think something's wrong with that dress.
Don't tell me you're scared of a dress.
The dog ripped it to pieces.
Spanking you almost.
Such a pretty dress.
Anything nice in the sales?
Just a dress.
All right, so that brings us to our second film, 2018's In Fabric, directed by Peter Strickland. It was another Toronto Film Festival film back in 2018. Got a, I guess, a limited release by A24 in 2019. This is a movie about a killer dress. Stylistically, we just got to talking about, you know, how Slacks is kind of a, you know, looks low budget, looks cheap. This has fucking production values out the ass.
Yeah, I was in love with the look of this movie. Like these deep reds and golds, like, yeah, this movie has lighting, you know, it has like, you know, it looks good. Great music, dude. I fucking love the score for this movie. Not to be coming in over the top about this, I have definite issues with it, but like,
yeah,
especially when you stack it against Slacks in terms of just how it looks. Like, this looks like a real film. This looks, you're not surprised. Like, I saw the A24 logo. I was like, okay, we might be in for something here. And like, yeah, it looks like something A24 would put out.
You know? Yeah. Very, very stylish, looking. we'll circle back to that, shortly. But premise is that, you know, follows this woman, Sheila. She is, divorced. She works for a bank. Her son, who is like probably 20 something, lives with her. Seems to be like she's struggling, right? Like she's just having a hard time with life. She's having a hard time with the fact that her ex-husband is like has a life away from her. Her son's kind of a dick to her in some ways. And she's just trying to find a way forward. She's like looking through the newspaper to find dates, and she ends up going to this store that will play a factor throughout the entire film. But she buys this dress at this store. It's this, you know, red dress. If you've seen the trailer or the posters for it. It's that red dress, and you know, it pops. That dress pops on visually. She buys it, and you know, stuff starts going weird from there. She gets a rash. She washes the dress. Washing machine goes fucking ape shit.
cool shots of there's like some shots where like she'll be sleeping or another character later, and the dress is just floating above the bed.
Yeah, hovering there.
Really cool, like, shot, yeah.
Yeah. And so like stuff starts happening like around her house too, like where her son and her son's girlfriend, you know, as you said, like the dress is just kind of like hovering there, like watching them in a way.
Yeah.
And at one point, I guess the dress tries to kill her son's girlfriend, tries to suffocate her. I'm like, it's done in such a way though that I wasn't sure like what happened.
Well, I mean, that would describe a good portion of this movie.
Yeah. It's like, I'm going to hold that. Let's try and get through the synopsis here before getting into
it. Yeah, but even trying to do a dry explanation of the story,
it's hard.
Like,
yeah.
It's kind of dream logic sometimes, which is like,
yes.
This movie's taking its inspiration from Italian horror a little bit, and you know,
it's very
always make sense.
Yeah, it's very Argento, Suspiria influenced. Anyway, like some stuff happens with the dress. She gets attacked while wearing the dress by a dog.
The dress is ripped and it's magically fixed. Yeah.
Magically repairs itself. And like, so she is like, she thinks something's up with the dress. Duh. She tries to return it to the store. They won't take it back because she doesn't have a receipt. Which is kind of amusing. And then she's seemingly killed in a car accident.
Yeah.
And then there's like a time jump. I have some issues with this, but anyway.
Yeah.
Time jump goes. There's a new character, Reggie. He's out for his bachelor party, which seems very, very early because there's a lot of time that goes on between that bachelor party and the wedding that never happens. anyway, he gets like vomit inducing drunk. And they, you know, we brought you some clothes, and the clothes is
where did they get the dress? Does the movie show that?
Yeah, it shows. So his best man picks it up at like a thrift store.
Okay, how did it get from the fucking
that don't know. Like it ends up, it's on a rack.
Interesting.
He sees it, he picks it up, and brings it.
There were things like that where I'm like, I don't know if I missed something. Or if it's not explaining a lot, but I just kind of rolled with it because I understood what the movie. I understood that this is like the movie wasn't going to totally like make sense and
right. It's
kind of artsy. So I was like, I was rolling with it. I was having fun. So anyways.
So yeah, he gets the dress. He gets a rash.
Also, I mean, kind of a weird thing. You ever been to a bachelor party where the guy has to put on a dress?
No.
Another thing that happens.
No, in fact, everybody that this guy associates with kind of treats him like shit. Like,
and he is just a sad sack.
Yeah.
We say that about our first main character is like, you know, she's life is not great for her either. This guy's just a total doormat, you know?
Right. Like Sheila, played by Marianne Jean-Baptiste, she's trying. She's trying to improve her life. She's trying to improve her situation. And she just keeps getting knocked down, but she's trying. Reggie is like, he is just depressing. he's not trying anything. Like, I don't know. His girlfriend, his fiance, like she's not necessarily like super.
There's a scene where he's having sex with her and she's talking to him the whole time about mundane shit.
Yeah, that was... that whole fucking scene, man. This whole... Yeah, I don't know.
The movie is very...
Super sexual.
Yeah.
Yeah. There's a scene where Vince, Sheila's son, is like eating out Gwendolyn Christie. and she's like watching through
the peephole. Yeah, the
peephole,
or not the keyhole.
Yeah, yeah, not the peephole. But yeah, like there's a keyhole in this house. I guess like maybe there's keyholes in Britain. I don't know. Like I'm, there's no keyholes in my house.
It's an old, it's an old door.
Yeah. Then there's like a whole weird scene with a mannequin that has pubes and is menstruating. And
this is in the department store, right?
Yep. And then like there's this old dude that's like whacking off to it. And it's fucking weird, man. Like weird shit.
It's a cool scene, I thought. Yeah, they're like the people that run this department store. It's like some sort of weird cult, right? Like that, I think that's what we're supposed to make of it. They're somehow,
I think so. Yeah.
They're somehow passing on this evil dress to people. And you know, yeah, there's a scene of them like after hours, whatever they do when stores close, they're like fondling this mannequin. They take the mannequin's panties off and it has like a full bush. Yep. Then you can see that the mannequin has like a bleeding vagina on top of it, and this dude's jacking off, and you get a shot of his jizz flying across your screen.
Yep.
Yeah, I don't know. Interesting. I haven't seen that before.
No, nope. There was also so Reggie gets fired for fixing his own fucking washing machine because he's a washing machine repairman. He gets fired from his job and then ends up, he's trying to take out a loan to these other two guys that we've seen throughout the film because they would consistently talk to Sheila because she worked at the bank. They have him like go into his spiel, like that he of explaining, you know, what's wrong with the machine. And they go into this like weird erotic with an ASMR type fucking.
Okay. And that was one of my notes. I didn't take a lot of notes on this one because I was so into it. Every time this guy talks to people about, like, people like get him talking about the washing machines, he starts going into details on the mechanics or whatever, right?
Yeah.
And it acts as like ASMR to whoever he's talking to about it. Like, they just become mesmerized and they just kind of like start zoning out and their like fucking eyes roll back into their head and you're just like. It was like a thing where after a while, I was like, they repeat it like a couple times throughout the second half of this movie. Yep. And I'm just like, what the fuck is that? Are they saying he's boring? Are they saying it functions kind of like you said, like ASMR? That was literally my note. I'm like, he's doing ASMR to
these people. Yeah, see, like it's just like monotone. Just kind of talking,
lulls you.
And like there's just a like weird there's
touch. Like it's another weird touch in this movie.
Yeah, it's like the chick that he's fixing the machine of this like a customer,
and she's coming on to him
very clearly like, hey, please fuck me.
Yeah.
he goes into like his detail of and because
the solenoid touches the this and the that.
Yeah. And then her eyes basically roll in the back of her head and she zones out and. But the two bank guys very clearly were like, yes, like, please do it to me. Like, it's very weird, very strange. Anyway, Babs, his girlfriend, ends up putting the dress on. She goes to the store where the weird cult people are to try and buy some new clothes. Weird shit happens there. Like, they threaten to throw her out. Of the store, and somehow she's able to talk her way into like trying on something new. And while she's trying on something new, a fucking riot erupts by a bunch of like old white women in this. Like they're throwing people through the display cases.
I mean, echoes of the ending of Slacks in some way. You know, the crazy consumer.
And then the dress, which Babs doesn't have on anymore, floats over above a space heater, catches on fire, burns the fucking place down. All while back at her house, Reggie has been mesmerized by
television. Yeah, he's zoning out.
by like this television, and he dies, I believe, of like carbon monoxide poisoning because the dress has like manipulated their fucking, you know, pilot light and thermostat.
Yeah, he is like mesmerized by an ad from the department store on his TV.
Yeah,
and it's doing that really cool music, like the.
Yeah, it's a very Halloween 3.
How about both of these movies kind of have that Halloween 3 element of like a stupid consumer item killing the world or killing people? You know what I mean? Like,
yeah.
And I guess this is as good a time to touch on this as any, but like, I thought this when I was watching him watch the ad on the TV. What year is this supposed to take place in?
I have no fucking idea. None.
That ad and the music that accompanies that ad, it feels like it's from the 70s.
Yes.
And I don't see anything early. Else in the movie that like points you in another direction. Like there was something else too where I was like, oh, this is like supposed to be a period piece, but like they don't ever really point towards it, but then like everyone's always using like old phones, you know what I mean? Like you never see someone using a cell phone, I don't think, in this.
Yeah.
The other thing, the way people meet in this is through classified ads, which is like pretty outdated at this point, right?
Yep.
Like
yep.
People don't do that. Like it's you know, that's been modernized to Tinder or whatever, right? Like,
yep. Yeah.
So I'm calling this a period piece, man. It's like a 70s, or it's like one of those like kind of It Follows where it's like it's hard to pinpoint where it takes place.
Yeah, or when it takes place. You could place it in any timeline, I guess.
But there's so many things that point to like this could not be. Like, again, nobody's doing classified ads in the newspaper. Like, that's not, people don't even read the newspaper anymore. You know what I mean?
Right.
Like, It Follows had that one weird phone that the girl was on, like that flip, like, it looks like a seashell that she was like reading a fucking book on or whatever. Like,
yep.
That was like the only thing in that movie that pointed to, okay, it's not from the 80s. Like, here it's like, this could definitely be the 70s, I guess.
Yeah, there's nothing to point to away from it.
Not to get off on a tangent, but like at that point is when I questioned it, is when he was watching the ad on the TV. I'm like, wait a second. Is this supposed to be in the past? His TV looks old too, right? Like it's not like a modern TV.
Yeah, it looks old and like who the fuck goes to department stores and has a catalog?
Yeah, like, yeah.
Like that's definitely late 70s, early 80s. Yeah, I mean, it very well could be a period piece. I don't know. It doesn't explicitly ever say, and nothing in what I've read about it kind of says where, you know, what the time period is. But anyway, you know, our cast is now dead. The fucking store is burning down, and the head sales clerk, she grabs a mannequin. She saves the mannequin. It takes it and goes on this elevator ride where she's going down and you see people in these sublevels sewing dresses. And eventually we get to Sheila and then Babs and then Reggie.
You're seeing all these victims like,
yeah,
they're like in dressmaking hell.
And I guess the first one we see is the model that they said died in the dress.
Was wearing the dress, yeah.
Yeah. So it's like if they're collecting the people, and now like they're seamstresses or whatever. I don't know. Weird movie, like really weird movie. But I was kind of captivated throughout it. I do think that the first half, the Sheila portion is the stronger portion. She gives a great performance. Some of the weirder stuff happens there as well.
I think for sure. And I just feel like the big flaw in this movie is that like, it's weird that like she dies halfway through it. Like it's just like a weird okay, like it almost feels like it should have then, if like they're going to go the route that they did with this, like should have had like three or four stories and they all shorter and the dress is hopping between people.
Yeah.
Like it's just like this disjointed thing where the first half is one thing and the second half is another.
Almost make it like an anthology, like where the dress is the main catalyst for everything.
I don't know. It's like the Sheila character was stronger. You're invested into the story. And then, like, she just gets killed out of nowhere. It's like that movie with Ryan Gosling where he gets killed like a half hour in. You're like, what the fuck? You know, like, I thought this was about him. You know what I mean? Like, and then it goes. But that's like here, it's halfway through the movie. And then the second half, you get this fucking doormat character. Like, this guy is just like getting walked on by everybody. It's weird. Yeah. Like, it's disjointed.
It's very weird, and it's not even halfway. It's more than halfway. It's like 70-some minutes is all on Sheila, and then, you know, for the next 40, we're with Reggie and his girlfriend.
It's like, just like, if you wanted to do the thing where we're hopping from one character to the next, if like I said, it would feel better if it was like three characters or four characters, you know?
And
short stories.
Yeah, I think you'd have to shorten them down because the reason Sheila's story works so well is we're given the background, right? Like, we're given the introduction to her. We know who she is as a character. We're invested in her by the end of it. And then you cut us away from it, and then you don't spend the time introducing us to Reggie. All we know is that he's a fucking doormat and that he's engaged to this chick.
He's not as likable. And, like, you could have just had it be Sheila and it keep escalating and have it be an hour and a half or an hour and 40 minutes. And instead, it's like it's almost 2 hours because, I don't know, more than halfway into the movie, you're just like, all right, now we're going this other direction. Like, to me, that's, like, a big flaw in a movie that, like, I kind of dig. Like, I kind of dig this movie, man. Like, I dig that it's weird. I dig that it doesn't make sense. I was into it. Like, I'm kind of happy that, like, you wanting to see Slacks and us doing this podcast led me to seeing this movie.
This weird thing that
like, I'd never heard of. You know,
what do you pair with a movie about killer jeans? Well, how about a killer dress?
Yeah, like, it led you to this, and us doing this podcast led us to this. And it's like, I really dug this movie, but and I like
it's just
the second half with this guy's story. I think I agree with you. Like, I saw your Letterboxd review. Like you said, like the last 10 minutes are like kind of glorious, and I'm like, yeah, like it's pretty cool at the end when like shit goes crazy. The dress causes a fire. We're descending into the depths of hell, like in an elevator, and you're seeing these people that are trapped forever making this dress, like. There's a lot of cool shit to admire in this movie, I think.
Yeah.
I just think it doesn't... It's, like, so close to coming together, and it has, you know, I think cool lighting and cinematography and really cool music, but, like, it's just not quite... doesn't quite come together 100% for me.
And so, a question for you. What do you think of, like, Dario Argento?
So, it's interesting. I have seen maybe two of his movies. I'm not super into the Italian horror, but it's like, slowly growing on me from watching The Last Drive-In. He's played a couple of... I think the one Argento film I saw, Deep Red, was on The Last Drive-In. And this season they did The House by the Cemetery, Lucio Fulci film.
Mm-hmm.
It's like, let me put it this way. The first time I saw Argento film was Suspiria, and I was like in my teens. And I was like, what? This is overhyped. It doesn't make sense. It's stupid. You know what I mean? Like, wasn't ready for it. And I think that Italian horror is an acquired taste. And I'm slowly acquiring it still. Like, and I'm starting to just accept that you know, it's dream logic. It's weird. The, you know, the, it's not the case in this, but in the real Italian horror, it's often like bad dubbing. But you know, it's own flavor. And you start to appreciate it for being its own thing. Right. And that's kind of where I'm at. I'm like at this turning point after I watched In Fabric, I almost went back to watch Suspiria cause it's on Tubi. Like I literally almost started Suspiria right after In Fabric. So I guess,
yeah, I can see that
where I stand on Argento is I'm slowly acquiring the taste. Like I'm like just about getting there. And like, I dug this movie for like kind of being an homage to like that whole, you know, the whole genre of Italian horror.
Yeah. I'm in a similar boat with you. I don't love Italian horror. I appreciate it. And I think like visually it's almost always striking.
Yes.
Yeah. But it is like, if you're looking for something logical, to follow it, it's not always there. That's kind of what happens here with In Fabric. It is like,
but the thing, it's like, once you accept that, like that type of horror is like dream logic, it's like, I don't know. It's kind of cool because like dreams are often nightmares and
yeah. And anything can happen. Horror.
Like, you know what I mean? Like, yeah, it could go any direction. Like the scariest things in life don't make sense. You know what I mean? Like that's some of the fun of that genre. Like,
and right.
This plays right into that. I think my big problem is not the flavor of this movie. It's that it's just so weird that, like, it starts so strong with Sheila and then it switches to this guy. Like, that to me is a major flaw.
Yep. That's where I'm at with it. I also think it's just a little bit disjointed, right? Like, I mean, Sheila's story makes sense. Like, you know, there's stuff it doesn't, you know, because, you know, fucking killer dress. And then like even the Reggie and Bab stuff makes sense. But then like you mix it in with this weird cult that isn't really explained. And it's like, what the fuck is going? Like, I like all that stuff. Like visually it's really cool, but it's like, what the fuck is going? Why are they here?
See, I'm fine with the cult not being explained. That's totally fine with me. But like, yeah, I just think it falls a little short. And I do think that like because of its length and because it does that, like switching from the one character to the other, it does start to drag a little bit.
Yeah.
You know, it's never super fast and exciting. You're not getting like crazy kills and anything like that. So like there's a little bit a drag in this, and it could have been tightened a little bit, but this thing is so close to being like, it's so close to being like one of these ones where I rave about for a week or two to anyone that will listen to me. You know what I mean? Like it's very close to that.
I almost wish that it was just Sheila's story stretched a little bit out.
Yeah.
And then like throw the cult in there as well. And you know, maybe instead of her crashing her car, she, you know, when she tries to return it, that scene with Babs happens. Like where, and she dies in the fire. Then Sheila dies in the fire instead of Babs. And it ends that way. Like I could have done without the whole Reggie Babs.
Yeah. Cause it just makes it feel like this should be an anthology movie, but then it's really not. Cause it's just two stories. You know what I mean? Like it's, yeah. Yep. It feels like a misstep to me.
But still, like, I think like if you are into like weird films, it's definitely one to give a chance to at least.
This is, to me, if you're into Italian horror, if you're into weird cinema, like this is a recommend for sure.
Yep. All right. Rating, Jeff.
Okay. So my rating on this goes by this rule I'm sort of developing where we have this 10-point scale where if you're going to go 7 or above, 7 or above is a movie I'll watch again, maybe many times. This movie falls just short of that. It's a 6.5.
That's a pretty good rule. like, you know, if you're going to watch it again, Sevens.
Yeah, that's good. Kind of where I'm, because I've put movies I really loved at the seven range, like Brain Damage. I've seen that a bunch of times. And I gave it like a 7 or 7.5, so.
I'm not sure I'm fully on board with saying I won't ever watch this again, but I'm also putting this at a 6, just like Slacks.
Okay. It's funny. I mean, you're giving those both the same score. I gave Slacks a 5, and then this is 6.5. There's a gulf between the two for me. Like,
sure.
I think this is much, much more interesting film, or just much more appealing to me.
Yeah. Well, for me, I think it's much more interesting. But I think ultimately I probably had more fun watching Slacks, and because it cuts out at 77 minutes.
Yeah. And it's, it's very silly and straight to the point. Like I can see, like, if you're not into this type of cinema, not liking this at all, you know, I can see someone coming in and saying, this is fucking 3 or 2. This is bad. Like,
if you tried to watch Suspiria or something from Italian horror in the past, and you were like, you shut it off after 10 minutes, don't even start this one. Just leave it be.
So I did our online poll, as I always do.
Mm-hmm.
On Twitter, it was an even tie with one vote each. Not a lot of people had seen this. On Facebook, got much more votes for Slacks. So, I think you could do the percentages, I guess. But I have 10 votes for Slacks, and I have 2 votes for In Fabric.
So that means, I mean, Slacks wins the listener poll.
Yeah, and so if you go Slacks, I think Slacks will be the winner here. And I'm telling you right now, I'm going In Fabric.
Yeah, so. I'm not going to go Slacks. Okay. I am going to go with In Fabric. I think, as I said, I think it's a more interesting film. I'm not sure I'll watch either of these again. I may watch In Fabric, like, if somebody's like, hey, I want to see something fucking weird, like,
I would be open to watching In Fabric again, but it's not gonna be one of, like, this Halloween where I'm gonna be like, I'm gonna make it one of the movies I watch, you know. It's not quite, like, there. It's just below it, honestly.
And like, while I wouldn't go out of my way to rewatch Slacks, like, if somebody were like, hey, I want to watch a dumb horror movie, that would also operate. There's just something fascinating about In Fabric, even if I find it, like, highly flawed.
Yeah. And I to say this about the poll that I did, I think that, so I got most of my responses from a short Shudder horror group on Facebook, and Slacks is on Shudder. So I think that's why.
Some bias there.
Yeah, I think that, like, some people that were voting had not seen both, and they were just like, yeah, Slacks was fun.
What? Where did you end up seeing In Fabric at?
On Vudu. It's free on Vudu.
Okay, yep. That's where I watched it as well.
So there's some ads. The ads are poorly cut into it. Like,
it's
mid-sentence, but
it's, Vudu is it's better than Crackle, but
yeah, for sure. And
not by a ton.
There was a lot of ads, and like I said, like, they come in at bad points, but it was a free way to watch it. So if you're listening to this, you haven't seen In Fabric, I think it's a recommend from both of us, right? And it's on Vudu for free, so there you go.
Yep, give it a watch. Jeff, what do you have in store for us for episode 14?
So for episode 14, I had a plan at the last minute. Like, I had, like, this kind of summary theme going. And that's going to have to be delayed to the next time I get to pick, because I have an emergency pick here.
Okay.
So, Last Drive-In is back on Shudder. And they play, like, 2 horror movies every Friday night.
Mm-hmm.
In between these 2 movies, they play a couple trailers. And one trailer just intrigued me endlessly. Like, I watched the trailer probably at least 5 times now, and I'm like, I need to build an episode around this. And that's how we're getting our next episode. The trailer was for a film called The Pit from 1981.
And okay.
It's kind of an Evil Kid movie. So we're going to do an Evil Kid month. And since this movie, The Pit, looks like this lost kind of low-budget gem from the era, we're going to take another movie from that same era and put them against each other. So we're doing two... Here's what we're doing next month, Chris. Two Evil Kid movies, both from 1981.
All right.
We're going to do The Pit versus Bloody Birthday.
Bloody Birthday. I've never heard of that one.
They are both available on Shudder. The Pit, watch the fucking trailer for it. It's bonkers. Bloody Birthday, as far as I can tell, is about a bunch of kids, like kind of Children of the Corn style, decide to start killing off their parents and shit. I've seen bits and pieces of it like on Shudder TV, like when they first added it like a while ago, it would be playing a lot. But I've never seen either of these. I never heard of The Pit until I saw the trailer for it on the last drive-in. I was like, we gotta do an episode. Like, The Pit, I mean, I'm not gonna spoil anything. Like I said, watch the trailer. But it looks like it's a movie about a kid who has a pit behind his house, like a giant hole in the ground that has trolls inside of it that he feeds people to. And he has an evil teddy bear who tells him to do it. So it's like an evil kid movie, an evil doll movie, and a hole in the ground, like, fucking to hell movie, and like, all in one. And I'm just like, I gotta fucking see this. Like I said, they are both, The Pit and Bloody Birthday are both available on Shudder, so anyone that wants to watch along with us, that's an easy way. I think one of them is on Tubi as well. They're available. They're not, like, a hard-to-find pick like Dog Soldiers or something, so.
Right.
So we'll be back next month with two Evil Kid movies.
I am excited. I don't believe that I have seen either of these.
I'm sure you have not.
Like that, but looking at images of The Pit now, and I have definitely not.
The Pit was a lost film. Like, it was like kind of a, I think Kino Lorber, like the Blu-ray company, like kind of dug that one up from the past.
Like, the premise sounds familiar, but I think it is like a different movie that had a similar premise that I've seen. But I've not seen this one, and I've not seen Bloody Birthday, so I'm excited. That's
hopefully these aren't terrible.
Yeah, whatever.
Or if they're terrible, they're wonderfully terrible.
Yeah, it's could be a good time. I'm not a fan of kids generally, but
there you go. Like,
hopefully cool. This work. Just funny, I have four of my own, but I am not a fan of kid actors. So,
are you a fan of evil kid movies?
I don't know. Like The Omen. Never been like a huge fan of that.
Really? When I was a kid, I loved The Omen.
I always found like too fucking weird. Like the way he dresses up, Damien dresses up.
He looks funny. But like when I was a kid, I found The Omen way more exciting than The Exorcist. I don't know why. Like nowadays, I would not say that. But
yeah, the Exorcist, much better movie.
But The Omen is more like, it kind of moves faster. It doesn't have, like, The Exorcist has that weird beginning where you're, like, in another country, and it's like, what the fuck is going on?
Yeah.
There's, like, this archaeological dig, and it kind of has, like, the slow build-up. The Omen's just kind of like a dumb horror movie. Like, and The Omen does have some cool shit, like the part where they go to the zoo. It's pretty cool.
Mm-hmm. I mean, there's some good shots in that.
But yeah, I like a good evil kid movie. The what was the Macaulay Culkin one?
Like The Good Son.
Yeah, I like that. We Need to Talk About Kevin. There's an evil kid movie.
Yes.
I don't think the two that we're going to watch are going to be on that level. That's why I was like, all right, I need something to pair with The Pit that's like on its level. You know what I mean? I can't put it against We Need to Talk About Kevin. You know what I mean? So
yeah, I don't. I'm looking at the images of Bloody Birthday, and what it looks like something.
Yep, we're gonna have some fun.
This will be a good one. All right. Well, join us next month, June, for episode 14 and Evil Kid Month.
Oh, yeah.